Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Ollie Focus Pops or Ollie Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
77 WABC.
Welcome back, folks. I'm Larry Kudlow. We're going to do some money in politics with Liz Peek, Fox News contributor and syndicated columnist, and Steve Moore, Freedom Works and Committee to Unleash Prosperity, and the author of GovZilla, and his WABC radio show, More Money, plays right after this show. So stick around for my pal, Steve Moore. So, kids, welcome back. Steve Moore, I want to start with you on this. We've obviously $5 trillion in taxes on the Biden budget is pure insanity. But I we can talk about that. I'll talk about anything you guys want to talk about on the budget. But I want to raise this point. There is a massive expansion of social welfare benefit programs. And that has not received the attention it ought to receive. And I'll be honest with you, I'm reading Dan Clifton from Strategus, who follows this stuff. He's got a laundry list. I'm already just back of the envelope about $2.5 trillion of new spending. Child tax credits, $430 billion. EITC, $155 billion. Family and medical leave, $325 billion. Universal preschool and child care, $600 billion. Secondary education, $200 billion plus. Premium ACA tax credits, $183 billion. Medicaid coverage, non-medical Medicaid coverage, $200 billion. Okay, that's all in here, you know, food and stuff. That's the latest on the left. So $5 trillion, and he's got probably $3 trillion in spending. Now, he calls that a $3 trillion deficit reduction package. That's utter nonsense. He wouldn't even get half of those revenues, by the way, because the economy would collapse. And people would avoid paying taxes. But the point is, Steve, with no work requirements, this is a major left-wing expansion of government benefits. That's going on here underneath the headlines, underneath the hood.
Boy, you've nailed it, my friend. And you know, you look at the massive welfare state we have already, and almost none of those programs have, as you just said, work requirements. And look, we're a rich country. We don't want people to go hungry. We don't want people to lose their homes. We don't want people to be in deprivation in this country. But we also, you know, the whole idea of these programs when they really began under Lyndon B. Johnson, I mean, he talked about how this was going to be a hand up to people, not a handout. And now we're basically paying people not to work. And this is a problem. Not just for the overall American economy. Look, we have 10 million job openings today. So there's not a problem for people to find jobs. They are out there right now. How long that surplus of jobs will last, I don't know. But the jobs are out there right now. Everything should have a work requirement. Bill Clinton was the Democratic president who signed this into law. And one last point. This budget is all about a kind of radical redistribution of income. And there is no, I think you were recording some of these things on your show the other day, on your TV show. They don't even talk about growth. They don't talk about prosperity.
Never.
It's all about fairness and redistribution.
It's about diversity, equity, inclusion. It's about affirmative action. It's about redistribution. It's about punishing success. And it's about substituting government benefits for work.
That's right. What
it is. It's funny. I was talking to Kevin Cramer, Senator Cramer, earlier in the program about this. He was quoting Theodore Roosevelt, who lived in North Dakota for a long time, and they claim him as their own. But it was interesting because Roosevelt called it the joy of work. And Liz, this is something, you know, Bill Bennett talks about. a job well done. How good do you feel having completed a job well done? It's not about making $10 million or $10 billion. Whatever it is you do, you're working, and if you do something well, you feel good about it. You're happy. And that the left just does not acknowledge any of that. And so I'm just reading from Dan Clifton. I mean, there's more. I just don't want to waste all our time on it. But the benefit increases they have in this budget is remarkable, absolutely remarkable.
And we can see the fallout from that, right? I mean, as you guys have already said, the labor participation rate is still way below where it was before COVID. Jay Powell talks about how the labor market is out of kilter. Well, he's right. And the reason is exactly this kind of spending, which started during COVID and now continues. And I think, look, the budget that Biden put out there isn't going to go anywhere, but it is an expression of how he thinks he'll win in 2024, because he will go to voters and he'll say, here's what I tried to do for you. I tried to give you more of a child tax credit. I tried to do this. And those nasty MAGA Republicans voted it down. Mm-hmm. That's what's going to happen here. It is not in any way. And by the way, shame on Janet Yellen for even pretending that this is a realistic budget or signing on to it as Treasury Secretary. This is in no way a sane proposal for what the government should do. After all, $6.8 trillion, that's the headline number. No one thinks that is realistic, least of all Democrats who have to basically defend these spending proposals in 2024. So it isn't real. But to your point, it really just embraces all the wrong values. And Joe Biden knows this. He talks about the dignity of work and how a job is important. Why doesn't he do something about that then in order to offer more Americans that opportunity?
Look, and I think Ted Cruz was right. Cruz goes on Sean Hannity's show and basically says Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren wrote this budget.
Well, they have.
They are running the White House. I mean, and their acolytes are in senior positions in the White House.
Yep.
I mean, I remember what happened, Steve. But Joe Biden ran as the non-Bernie Sanders candidate. Mm-hmm. Remember all that? I'm not Bernie Sanders. So he won because the Democrats. Yeah. Well, now, well, here it is. We're all Bernie Sanders now. If you're a Democrat, we're all Bernie Sanders now. Nixon said we're all Keynesians now. Biden's saying we're all Bernie Sanders now.
Well, I would actually say that Biden's probably been worse than Bernie Sanders would have been. Because, I mean, at least Bernie Sanders, you know, is honest about, you know, what he's trying to do to the country. Look, I think a strategy for the Republicans, I don't know if they're going to do this, that they should, is let's bring this up to a vote in the House tomorrow.
Yes.
The up or down. Where do y'all stand on this? You know, I mean, this is an extremely unpopular with working Americans. You know, the people who are most angry about paying people not to work are not people like us who have fun jobs. You know, we like what we do. We love what we do. We're very blessed. But, you know, the people are working really hard. You know, the people are working on construction crews and the people are working in manufacturing and factories and the people, the nurses and the doctors who are there at 3 a.m. And they come home and they see the next door neighbors is getting all this cash benefit. And instead of blue collar America, finds this to be offensive. I think that you just put it well, Liz, that this is a violation of our basic American values. And so, but I want to add one other thing, because you made this point on your show the other day, but it needs to be amplified. This budget is a declaration of war against American business.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. That's what it is. At bottom, that's exactly what it is. It's a complete. And it's a confrontational. Mm-hmm. It's in your face.
It is.
It has no pretensions about that. I mean, you go down just.
The biggest tax increase on American businesses in the history of this country is in this budget that Biden has put forward. That's why I want to see where all these, quote, moderate Democrats, let's see how they vote up or down on this thing.
Again, it's all a political calculation, because indeed, progressives, Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, AOC, all those people, Joe Biden needed that wing of the party to support him in 2020, and he got it. And now he's afraid he's going to lose it again. Why? Because the number one issue to voters now is crime. And as Joe Biden begins to flip-flop on crime, he has to give them something else. So what he's going to give them in the other side, on the right hand, he's going to try and force through better crime approaches. On the left hand, he's going to talk about redistributing the country's wealth and income. So it's not serious. I mean, this is my tagline for this entire era we're in. These are not serious people. They don't really seem to care about our country. And I think that is just such an alarming kind of proposal, but I think it's true.
This is so interesting, though. The polls keep showing that almost 3/5 of Democrats don't want him to run.
Yeah.
He's given him $3 trillion of new benefits, and he's taxing rich people, all those terrible MAGA Republicans, and he's taxing businesses. He's taxing everything. But they still don't like him. They still don't want him to run. It's a very odd story. I don't know that I understand it, but that's what's going on politically. He's just not a popular guy.
Nobody
loves Joe Biden. I mean, his wife loves him, I'm sure. But nobody really loves Joe Biden. No, I'm not even sure Hunter likes him.
Larry, the only group that loves Joe Biden, I mean, go look at the recent Economist poll, because they go into pretty great depth on issues and subsectors of voters, et cetera. The only group still in his corner is black voters. Mm. And so an awful lot of what he does is meant to solidify that support, because without them, he wouldn't have been the candidate in 2020. Without them, he certainly won't be the candidate or win in 2024. That is the only group. And by the way, an interesting phenomenon on many issues like crime and immigration, too, Hispanics now are way underwater on Joe Biden. Mm. They don't like what he's doing, even on immigration, which, of course, I think the administration thinks is a handout to Hispanic Americans. It's not. They don't like it. And they don't like what he's doing on crime, because their neighborhoods are under attack.
And add to that, Asians.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Asians own their own businesses.
Yeah.
And he's killing them.
Yeah.
I mean,
and with education, too. Everything he does on education is terrible in their view. So
burden being imposed on small business, subchapter S, LLC, they're getting socked with the Medicare tax, but they're getting socked with a higher income tax. This guy's jacking up the income tax. Who do you think pays that?
Yeah.
Unincorporated businesses. I mean, it's fascinating. All right, we'll take a quick break, but this is a very difficult story, and it's up to the Republicans. McCarthy said to me the other day that he might put a vote in the House, because it won't pass. It absolutely will not pass. Anyway, kids, take a break. Liz Peek, Fox News, and Steve Moore of Committee to Unleash Prosperity. And Steve's got more money coming up after these shows on many of these same ABC-affiliated stations. I'm Kudlow. We'll be right back.
Larry Kudlow. This is the Larry Kudlow Show.
All right, welcome back, folks. We're talking money and politics. Stephanie Link. That's great. Liz Peek, syndicated columnist, Fox News contributor, Steve Moore, FreedomWorks, Committee to Unleash Prosperity, and more money, WABC Radio, more money right after this show. Kids, I want to talk about Kevin McCarthy, who is really doing some good things, okay? One of which is they're putting up HR1, which I've talked about for months and months and months. In fact, he did invite me down, and we did our whole show from the Rayburn Room there in the Capitol, the House side of the Capitol. And Kevin McCarthy made the announcement of HR1, which, in a sense, would unlock the spigots for oil and gas, a fabulous permitting bill, which will pass the House. And I was most grateful for that. But he's done other things. I mean, this bill is very important. It's going to have support in the Senate. It's going to have bipartisan support in both houses. But Kevin McCarthy also completely out-jocked Democrats, left-wing Democrats, even Joe Biden, on the D.C. crime bill. All right, got a whole, 35-something Democrats to vote for it, and got through the Senate easily. People thought, Steve, I'm going to start with you on this. People thought it was the Republicans who were divided at each other's throats because it took Kevin, whatever, 15 ballots to become Speaker. Right now, it is the Republicans in the House, led by McCarthy, putting bills together, out jockeying Biden, and it's the Democrats who look very divided on this. And I think McCarthy has played his cards extremely well and is a very powerful force for good right now, Steve Moore.
Yeah, I agree with that, Larry. And I haven't always been the biggest fan of Kevin McCarthy's over the years. I mean, I kind of have run hot and cold on him. But I have to tell you, you know, you look back at what happened 2 months ago with that kind of coup that the some of the hardcore conservatives had, the Freedom Caucus people. And even though I didn't agree with some of their tactics and I didn't agree with some of their things like vacating the chair, I think that that was a very, very useful kind of stance that the conservatives took. And they got some concessions from the leadership, including Kevin McCarthy on you know, getting to a balanced budget and all these other things. And what's so interesting, how many ballots was it? 15 ballots. But you know what? Ever since then, Kevin McCarthy has shown a lot of spinal fluid. Mm-hmm. He has stood up to Biden. It's like a new Kevin McCarthy. I love it. And I think he benefited. Frankly, I think he benefited from what happened. Mm. They just handed it over to him. And it's given the conservatives a voice in the House Republican caucus. So I agree with you. I like the new Kevin McCarthy. He's tough. And I saw when he was after he did the interview with you over in the Capitol, and I was coming on after him, you know, I shook his head. I said, Kevin, I've always agreed with you, but I think you're doing exactly the right thing. I said, don't blink on the debt ceiling fight. And he just smiled at me and said, we won't do it. So I agree with you. I think there's a new Kevin McCarthy who is off to a great start.
I mean, look, Liz, I'm a pushover. When they did H.R. 1 on the permitting bill, that was easy. I was I fell in love immediately. That's exactly right. And I loved, and it was a great show that we did in the Capitol. And he put that together. That was at his request, not ours. And that's a powerful bill because
I think that's very cool. And congratulations on the show.
Well, no, thanks.
I thought that was really nifty. I would say, you know, with all due respect, I was there ahead of you guys on this whole push by the conservative wing of the Republican Party to take a stand. And they've done it again, putting out a new budget or proposals about a budget, which include cuts to federal spending, by the way, a return to Clinton-era work requirements for public assistance, and an end to federal regulations and subsidies on domestic energy production. So, you know what? I think these guys have emboldened Kevin McCarthy in a really important and constructive way and kind of gotten the Republican Party back on track. And, I mean, it doesn't seem to me like what they're talking about most of the time is nutty. In fact, I think it's pretty constructive.
He said several times when we got around to the budget stuff, he talked to workfare and work requirements. He must have said it half a dozen times.
Right.
I mean, that's really cool. And there's no way he's going to increase the debt ceiling without some substantial spending cuts.
And wouldn't that be
no
something
way.
If he got through a return? You know, Joe Biden is making hay talking about how in that horrible whisper of his, Ronald Reagan had a 28% tax rate. How about the Republicans talking about Bill Clinton embraced workfare? Let's do it. I mean, that seems to me a pretty powerful change that could really be a very constructive thing for our country.
By the way, Biden couldn't even get that attack right. Reagan had a 28% top income tax
rate.
They're proposing from 21 to 28 on corporate taxes. So Biden's so dumb he couldn't even get that right, for Christ's sakes. I mean, honest to God, if you're going to attack, get your facts right. He's never gotten the facts right. But again, McCarthy has the upper hand right now. They have the momentum right now. The Republican conference is very unified around these key subjects. And again, the D.C. crime bill was a big deal.
Yeah.
I mean, I want to go back. This permitting bill is a big deal because they've done everything right on NEPA and one federal decision. It's all in there. And by the way, ironically, the permitting reforms are going to help the greenies.
Yeah.
Right. Because you're going to be able to dig for minerals for the batteries of the electric vehicles and to put up wind farms. I don't like wind farms, but I'm just saying this will help the greenies too. But look at the idea guy has become McCarthy. The idea group has become the House Republican chairs and the rank and file. All right. And the Freedom Caucus, they're putting up the Democrats look terrible right now.
Yeah, well, and, you know, I think to your point, they don't have many new ideas, and all they're doing is doubling down on policies which haven't worked and that people aren't angry about. So, yeah, I mean, let's see some new ideas come in that are attached to success. I mean, where is it written that we have to follow failed policies in order to make our country move forward? That doesn't seem like a winning idea to me.
It's written in Das Kapital.
I believe it. Yeah.
Steve, the Freedom Caucus, they've come out with their own budget. I guess we'll probably have Scott Perry on the show Monday, but they will work through as part of a fairly unified conference. That's what's so interesting to me. And your point, both of your points, that the 15 ballot crucible has made Kevin McCarthy stronger and made the whole conference stronger. Yep. And Democrats, beware. I think that's a very important point. And I don't know, Bernie Sanders. We are all Bernie Sanders now. That's what we are. It's fascinating. Anyway, thank you, Liz Peek. Thank you, Steve Moore. Everybody, listen to More Money coming up right after this show. I'm Larry Kudlow. And with any luck at all, technology permitting back here, we'll be with you next weekend once again.